He is love. Amen. Good news, he loves you. Better news for me, he loves me. And I'm so thankful to know the love of God. It's a great thing. Wonderful song. While she was singing, I said, boy, I wish I could sing like that. And if I tried to sing that song, you'd never want to hear it again. Amen. I'm so thankful for God's gifts, aren't you? If you take your Bibles and turn to 2 Kings chapter 5 with me and stand, if you're able, for the reading of God's Word. It's a wonderful thing to read God's Word. It's a wonderful thing to hold it in your hand. It's a wonderful thing to hide it in your heart. It's a great thing, God's Word. And He's spoken to us. It's inspired from God. We're going to look at a man's testimony here, a man's healing. And I don't know. I don't know what your expectations are when you come to church, when you come to hear preaching. I'll confess to you, I never stand before anybody and preach that it's not the most humbling thing in my life. And I always feel so inept. I pray much. I seek God much. I know with all my heart that what we're fixing to go through here will be an absolute flop and disappointment unless God blesses and speaks and touches and works. And it's just of utmost importance. This time is a great, wonderful time of God. And if we each seek Him with all our heart, He'll do something for us. It's not about me. It's not about my delivery or my technique of preaching. It's about God's Word and God's will and God's purpose for you and for me. And so let's just block out the outside world. Don't let the devil run through your mind on things that you got to do or you want to do or you're thinking about doing. I mean, let's seek God this morning. Yeah, I too miss Pastor. I miss him every time he's not here. And I've been praying for him. But God will meet with us if we'll let Him. Let's read God's Word. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captives out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with a prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told the Lord, and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus hath the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go to, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And when it was so, when Elijah the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he said to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought he surely would come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near, spake unto him, and said, My father, the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, whether thou hast not done, wherefore thou not have done it, how much rather then, when he saith unto thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the sayings of the man of God, and his flesh came again, and like unto the flesh of a little child, he was clean. I want us to pay attention to the last phrase of verse 1 this morning. And it says of this mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Pray with me, please. Father, please bless this morning. We seek you with all our heart. Oh, my precious Lord, you have put such a burden on my heart for this passage. And Lord, you've dealt even with my life about it. And I just ask, dear God, again, as I've spoke to these precious people, that you would meet with us now and you would deal with each heart on an individual basis. And dear God, we'd understand what's going on in this passage and how gracious you are in this passage. And I just pray, dear God, that we would see your love and we would see your grace and we would see your will for man and dear God, your will for us. I pray this morning, dear God, that you'd bless every believer here in a very special way. Oh, God, bring us to the place of just letting you be Lord. And I pray, dear God, if there's one here this morning that doesn't know you as Savior, that one would come to know you as their own personal Lord and Savior. And you would heal them of being a sinner on their way to hell. Please help me. Please preach through me. I pray I'll be able to preach with your power. Give me liberty, please, dear God. It's in your wonderful name, Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen. You can be seated. Thank you. This is a tremendous passage of Scripture. Matter of fact, if we flipped a page and read another place, it would be a tremendous passage of Scripture. All of God's Word is that way, but this one really speaks to my heart. It really speaks in a way that it is so prevalent and it is so important in our day-to-day. It seems to me that it's evident that man doesn't change a whole lot. And societies, we've heard about the times changing, the Word of God's not prevalent and the Word of God is not relevant. But hopefully we'll be able to look this morning at how similar we are to this passage in our day-to-day. He describes this man, Naaman. He describes this man of a man in position. He describes him as a man that's a soldier, that a man of valor. He describes him as a man that's close to his Lord, the King. He describes this man as a victorious person, a victorious in battle. And a very unique phrase here, that the Lord had worked here, and the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria through him. The Lord had even used Syria to chasten Israel. And so his hand is on this man. And he's used him. He's a Gentile. He's not a believer in God. But he's a man in authority. And so it's a big thing. We think about people today in authority. And we think about people that are well known today. We think about military people that are well known and highly respected and regarded as this man was. And so we, if you think about MacArthur, I've read some of MacArthur, a great general, and he said he'd return, and he did. And we think about Patton and his great forces, and Eisenhower, and even, if you please, Alvin York in Tennessee. I love that movie. But high regard for military people, but anyhow, politicians can raise to high regard, and some people will regard them, and some people will disregard them. But anyhow, they become well known. Business people can have high regard of many people. I know some of these CEOs, man, they head up thousands and thousands of people, and in the business world, are highly thought of. Religious leaders rise to preeminence. The sad thing is that most people in our nation today that rise to preeminence don't fit the description of this man. And they lead people into falsehood, and they lead people into lies. And a lot of our business world today are promoting homosexuality, and they're just not good for mankind. But this man was a decent, a great military man. And I want you to understand that when God says something like this, that what he says about this man, it's a big deal. This man had it going his way. And I'm convinced today that in America, most Americans kind of have it going their way. Now, you and I don't think that we're wealthy. We don't think that we're rich. We don't think that we're renowned. And we're not supposed to think that way about ourselves. But I tell you what, if you'll look at the news and you'll look at a lot of lands in our world today, people are living in huts, and people are living on dirt floors, and people are living without running water, and people are living without sewer systems, and people are living without heat in their houses, and on it goes, just in absolute poverty. The poorest people in America are living far above most people in the world today. And so we have statue. I'm telling you, I don't know what the percent is, but I'm convinced that 75 or 80% of the people in the world would love to change positions with you today, and the way you live and the comforts that you have. And so we're kind of elevated. We really are. And we need to be humble about this thing. And we need to understand what happens here. And America just thinks that it can fall, but without God it will. And we think everything is going fine, but without God it won't be. But it's so important to understand when it talks about this man and who he is, and it makes God makes this statement, but he was a leper. But he was a leper. And if I title a message today, that's what it would be. But he was a leper. Now I want you to understand this is a big thing. This is the most dreaded disease of his land. This is a thing where your body just literally rots off on you. Your nose will fall off. Your fingers will fall off. Your toes will fall off. Your hands will finally fall off. It was very contagious, and a leper had to be put out of the city. They had to announce that they were lepers. They had to cry out that they were lepers so people wouldn't get close to them. This man is, this is the mention of the man here. He's mentioned one other time in the Bible. In Luke 4 and verse 27, it says, "And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them were cleansed save Naaman the Syrian." All these lepers, this man here is singled out. And God wants to work in his life, and God wants to work in his life for you and for me. And it's very important that we understand this. You see, leprosy in the God's word is a type of sin. So in all the renown that this man has, and all the places that we would consider ourselves above others, financially and resource-wise, and I hope you understand, you've been blessed to be born in America. We complain about things, but we're blessed people. And we don't deserve that. I don't know about you, but I had nothing to do with where I was born. I had nothing to do that I was born Caucasian. I really didn't have anything to do that I was born a sinner. You didn't either. It's God. And Naaman was a leper. And Naaman was a sinner. And if we could understand what's happening here and what the message is, all that he had, all the honor that he had, all the possessions that he had, he's a leper and he's an outcast. And his king cares. Others care. But he's still a leper. The Bible deals with this thing of sin. We mentioned sin today very calmly. We mentioned sin today that everybody does it, so what's the big deal? Well, let me tell you something. It's a big deal, sin is. Sin is a serious thing. Matthew 16:26 says this, "For what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his own soul?" Sin takes our soul. Sin takes eternal life away from a person. Sin causes a person to be dead in trespasses and sin, God says. Sin is terrible. Sin is against God. Sin is natural. Sin, the place of a lost sinner, is the place that Naaman's in. A lost sinner. A lost sinner. It's a devastating thing. Can you imagine how Naaman felt when all of this prestige and all this relationship with the king? Can you imagine when he was told, "You're a leper"? It didn't feel good, did it? He knew what happened to lepers. He knew the state that he was in. He knew he was fixing to have to leave his family. He knew he was going to have to leave those that he knew. He knew he was going to have to go and live in with a bunch of more lepers. You know, it's a devastating thing when it comes to an individual that they are sinners. When it comes to attention, my attention, your attention, that you're in sin, that you are on your way to hell. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin brings forth hell. And it's a devastating thing. When God, after I'd heard the gospel as a young boy, God, I had heard it. I'd heard Jesus died. I'd heard Jesus was buried. I heard Jesus rose again from the dead. I heard that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. I heard that he saved people. But it never touched my heart. But when God touched my heart, and he said this, that I was a sinner. And if I died like my dad, I'd go to hell because I was a sinner. My dad had died in a car wreck. And it's a serious thing. I'm telling you, grief left me over my dad. I was in trouble with God. If I died, I knew death was real. If I died, I was going to go to hell. Hell's real. It's so real. And I was devastated. Man, you talk about an awakening. It's a serious thing. This is a serious thing, but he was a leper. God says, "You are a sinner." And hell is real. You know, there's a lot of people today that do not believe in hell. A lot of people today don't even believe in heaven. A lot of people today believe everybody goes to heaven. A lot of people don't believe today that God would never put a person in hell. But God tells us different, doesn't he? He tells us about sin. He tells us about the wages of sin. He tells us about hell. Jesus told about hell. Let me tell you something. The Bible says some things about hell, and we need to understand it because it's a fruit of sin. Hell has torments. And these aren't just hard feelings. These aren't just sad feelings. These are horrible things that are happening to an individual right now in hell. Torments. Torments. It talks about hell in this way, that the fire is not quenched. It talks about hell in this way, that it's darkness. Fire. I burnt myself a few times. I can't imagine being surrounded with fire. I can't imagine how the rich man felt when he just begged for Lazarus to touch his tongue with a drop of water. A drop of water doesn't mean anything to us. But here this man's torments has brought him to the place that it would be so wonderful. Just a tip of water on his old parched tongue. Now, this is real stuff. He's there today. It says it's a place of wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's a loud place. There's no praise of God there. There's cries of mercy, but no mercy. They're under the wrath of God. Great cries. Oh, they want the pain to stop, but it won't stop. It's going to stop for a brief time when the resurrection, the hell gives up its dead and bow their knee before Jesus at the great white throne judgment, and they'll be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But just for that brief moment, the rest of the time, this torture, this torment, this anxiousness, this anxiety, it just dominates. It's a place of remembrance. It's a place where I believe with all my heart, we know there's remembrance there from Scripture, because the rich man, he wanted Lazarus to go back and tell his brothers so they wouldn't have to come to this place. He remembered Lazarus was a man of God. I believe with all my heart, Lazarus has witnessed to him as he come through his gate, laying there with his sores, trying to tell him about his Lord. He didn't want his brothers to come to that place. He knew what his brothers was. He knew what he was. It's a place of remembrance. It's a place of unspeakable pain. It's a place of no end. The worm dieth not. Oh, it's a place not prepared for you and me. It's a place prepared for the devil. But it's a real place. So the place for the leopard was outside the camp. The place for the sinner when he dies in his sin is a place outside of heaven. It's outside of God. It's outside of the will and the graces and the wonderful love of God. It's a terrible place. I believe it's a lonely place. I can't imagine for spending eternity in a place where people are screaming and hollering, and I start screaming and hollering with them, and I just can't stand it anymore. Oh, it's a serious thing. It's a serious thing, this thing of sin. I want you to understand something. God's got a plan, and God's got a purpose, and God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. And in this passage of Scripture, he shares some things with us that we've just got to see and understand. Oh, sin is real. Hell is real. The love of God is real. It's this thing about. And the love of God is all over this passage of Scripture. And we got to understand it. It's horrible. This man didn't deny that he was a leper. It's horrible when a sinner denies that they're a sinner. It rejects the doctrine of God's word and the teaching. But there was some good that happened here. You see, he had taken captive a little young maid from Israel, and she was serving his wife as a slave, but she knew the prophet of God, and she knew God, and she told her mistress, if he could only see the prophet in Samaria, he'd make our Lord whole. Now, this little girl is in captivity. This little girl doesn't have any freedom. And sometimes as believers, we get gloom and doom. And we think that we don't have anything to offer. And we think that we're persecuted. And we think our trials are so great. And we get down and we forget the command of God to preach the gospel to every creature. But this little lady in her situation is wanting to help even the one that's got her captive. It doesn't matter whether sinners like you. It don't matter whether you agree with their lifestyle. It don't matter whether they badmouth you. It don't matter. We need to have the heart of this maid that we're concerned that they've got sin unto death. It's important that we understand this little girl. She's telling them in our realm. She's telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we take from this. So it's so important that we understand. Then the word gets to the king through the other servants. And the king takes things into his own hand. Now the message is, if he could go and see the prophet of Samaria, if he could go to Elisha, he could make him whole. The king of Syria takes it in his hand and sends a letter to the king, right, of Israel. Not to the prophet, not to where the message goes, but to the king of Israel. He also sends money. He sends monies. He sends gold, 10 talents. He sends 6,000 pieces of silver, 10 pieces of raiment to the king, and instructs the king to heal laymen. Now we have this stuff today. We have this same thing from people today. They want some other way but the word of God. They want something but that man can input into this thing of being right with God, this thing of being healed spiritually, this thing of being saved or born again, this thing about going to heaven, this thing about having eternal life. They want to inject their way. And that's what's happening here. One king to another. We kings can take care of these things. Our government thinks they can take care of anything. It amazes me in our society today that whenever we have natural catastrophes, that it's no big thing. Matter of fact, business people kind of get excited when a tornado destroys everything because they're going to build it back. We just think we can do anything. It's a terrible thing when hurricanes and tornadoes and floods destroy things. But it's no, the government will just come in and fix it. That's what's happening here. The king thinks that he can take care of his servant, Naaman, and send him to the king, and the king can heal him. The sad thing is that the king realizes that he's not God, that he can't take life or give life, or he can't heal this leper. And he thinks that the king of Syria is really trying to provoke him, and maybe even have reason to come against him again. And he rents his clothes. You see, man cannot do what God can do. And man can only get in the way of what God wants to do. And so we see here them take it another way. And so Naaman believes the king, takes the letter, takes the riches. And you can't buy God, by the way. Rich people can't buy health. You can't buy salvation. You can't work for it. It's by grace through faith. Not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not a works lest any man should boast. See, that we have this today. Same thing right today everywhere. And the king can't do it. Don't you depend on the government for your subsidy. Don't you depend on the government for your protection, for your life. Depend on the Lord Jesus Christ. They can't do it. God can use them to help, but it's all about God. That's important. It's important now that we tell them. It's important that they obey. So Naaman did not obey. The king did not obey. But God's not through. I'm thrilled to death to understand from these verses that the grace of God is really real. And I'm telling you, if it wasn't for the love and the grace of God, and the mercy of God, none of us would be here this morning. Have we always obeyed God every time first? Probably not. I know I haven't. But God keeps on working. And God keeps on dealing with us. And God keeps on drawing. Is God commanded to do that? No. I believe He's commanded according to His word to reveal Himself to us once. To show us our sin once. But here He is. Man's got in the way. Government's got in His way. The man He's wanting to help is trusting in them. And there He is. And the king of Israel is scared to death. But God steps in again. God is stepping in. You see it? He steps in again. Elisha sends word. Send him to me. I hear he's there. Send him to me. And he'll know there's a prophet in Samaria. Hey, we need to know. You know, the great prophet is the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to know who He is. So, send him to me. The king sends him to Elisha. And so he goes. I bet he's no different than you and I. We've got preconceived ideas of how God ought to handle things. We've got our idea of what right things ought to be and how God ought to do and when He ought to do it. So Naaman's no exception. Now remember, Naaman is a type of sinners. And Naaman needs physical healing. And he's coming now to the man of God. And he's got in his own mindset what Elisha needs to do to heal him. He thinks he's going to. Now he's developing some faith. So he shows up. And to his amazement, Elisha doesn't even come out to see him. You know, pastor doesn't do exactly what he ought to do. What do you think? You ever heard that? You better be careful. You better be careful how you judge the man of God. Well, why don't he do this or that? I'm not going to get on that anymore. But let me tell you something. Why don't you pray for him more? Just pray for him more. Most of you have known him as long as I have. Some of you maybe longer. But he'll listen to God. He will listen to God. I believe that with all my heart. He just needs to know. We pray for him. He'll know. But the man of God didn't do what he wanted him to do, what he thought he ought to do. You see, he must have looked into 2024. Because we got people now that do exactly what he wanted Elijah to do. He wanted him to come out and lift up his voice to God in his presence. And he wanted to put his hand on him and heal him. There's lines today in our land where you can go and they'll put their hand on you and do all this stuff. Elijah didn't even come out of the house. He just sent him word. Go wash in the River Jordan. Dip yourself 7 times and you'll be whole. He don't want that. He got angry. The man of God didn't do what he wanted him to do. The man of God is going to heal him. The man of God is in the process of, in the power of God, healing him. But it's not like he wants it. So he gets in a rage. He's going to leave. The rivers in Damascus are better than they are in Israel. They're cleaner. You want me to go down there and bathe in that thing, dip in that? Man, I'm too good for that. Sometimes the lost sinners, he's impressed with the thought that he's got to get out of those adulterous relationships. He's got to leave that alcohol out of his life. He's got to quit taking those lustful magazines, and he's got to get off some of those internet sites. He's going to have to be faithful to his wife and she to him. He's going to have to start the church. He's going to have to quit fishing on Sunday. He don't like it. The list could go on and on. They don't like it. They don't want to repent. They don't want to believe Scripture. They don't want to believe the man or woman of God that's given him the gospel. Sometimes they get enraged. I preach the very truth of God's word before the people, and sitting where you're sitting, not in this church, but others, and seen them wag their head, seen them to leave the church and not even want to shake my hand. I preach funerals and people would not even want to shake my hand because I preach the gospel. But the truth is still the truth. And what the man of God said is still the truth. So he's leaving. He's leaving a leper. He's leaving, in our context here, a sinner. He's leaving without God. And his servants come to him, more than one, and say, listen, if he told you something hard to do, you'd have done it. But he just told you something simple to do. Matter of fact, it just takes faith to be saved. But grace through faith. Faith. Believe God. He didn't want to believe God. And lost people today, they don't want to believe God. Christians today even don't want to believe God. He doesn't change. He's not going to change for you. We've got to understand this. We've got to understand it big. It is so very important. Let me give you this verse. Proverbs 14:12. It says this, there's a way which seemeth right unto men, but the end thereof are the ways of death. All he had to do to die as a leper is just keep going. Just keep mad at God's man. Be mad at the word that came from God to the God's man and go die a leper. If we as individuals don't want to hear the preaching of the gospel, we're going to die as a lost, hell-bound sinner. And we can get mad. We can fuss. We can criticize. We can do anything. But that's just fact. But thank God, God still intervened in his life. And the servants come and said, listen, it's a simple thing he's asking you to do. Why don't you do what he says? And he decides to do it. And that's a great thing. It's a simple thing. Just do what he says. Christian, do what he says. Lost person, come like he says, oh helpless, hell-bound sinner. And believe and repent and be saved. You can't go stand in the corner for 30 minutes and get saved. You got to come, repentant heart, believing with all your heart that Jesus died for you and rose again and paid for your sins with his own blood. But the way of man. Man, I've had people try to tell them the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're in a religion that doesn't believe it. And I've had them to say to me and to say to me and to say to me, I'm satisfied with my religion. Some of the religions of our land, you can pay for your loved ones that have not received Christ after they die. You can pay. And they'll pray them into heaven. Man stuff. Man stuff. Some of our religions today say that if you just do good and you keep doing things of God and you keep doing that and you die and you just keep doing that in heaven and you just keep on serving God and getting better and closer to God in heaven, and then one day you'll be God. Man makes up some terrible rules, doesn't he? Some terrible ideas, just disagreeing with God. They don't believe what God says about himself. They don't believe what God says about what he's done for the lost and hell-bound sinner. They don't believe in heaven and hell, but they will. But I want you to understand the grace and the mercy of God. Even though the king was wrong, even though he was wrong to go to the king, even though they took wealth to try to buy this thing from the king, God's still working. Sent him to Elijah. He went. Even though he rebelled against the man of God and the word of God that came from the man of God, God still worked. God sent the maid. God sent the servants. God used the servants. God used the maid. God used the servants again. And finally, he obeyed God. That's true in a lot of our lives here today. God drew, you rejected. God drew, you rejected. God drew, and you rejected. But listen, you've got to receive him while he's drawing you. No man cometh to me except the Father which has sent me. Draw him, and I'll raise him up in the last day, God says. It's important that we understand these things. When God is working in our life like he is Naaman's life, we better listen to God. And we better obey God. For sin is deadly. The ways of man are deadly. False religions. There's religions in our land today said if you're not a member of their church and baptized in their church, you won't go to heaven. My Bible says every born-again believer goes to heaven. Man-made stuff. It's all in this text. But God still works. If we would be willing to receive the truth this morning, God will still give us this. And God will still give us the victories in our Christian life. And God will still give the victory of salvation in the lost person's life. But you will come to God his way, or you won't come. That's the way it is. If you want the blessings of God, you'll get them his way. If you want to know God, you'll come his way. You want to know his love? Receive Jesus Christ. You want to know the abundant life? Receive the word of God as a believer. Oh, it is so vital, so important. It is such a real thing. I am so thankful. I am so thankful. Boy, I just looked at our clock. Time flies when you're having fun. Yeah. So really, instead of, but he was a leper, we could say, but I am a sinner. If you're without Christ today, it would say, but you are a sinner. Jesus died for you. Paid the price. There's absolutely no reason for you to go to hell. None. There's no reason for you not to know the joy of the Lord. And dear Christian, there's no reason for you to give up the joy of the Lord for the sin of this world or for the false religions of this world. It's of utmost importance. Utmost importance. Christian, there's no reason. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there's no reason for you not to have the burden of the person that is but a sinner, that has hell in their future. We got to care. We got to care enough to share. We got to care enough to believe that Jesus saves. It's sin for us not to believe Jesus would save that person. He will save them if they'll believe and repent. Oh, that God would just give them understanding when we witness, that the power of God would be in the Word of God. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shame on us if we can just idly live our lives along and not tell those that are but a sinner, dying. If they died today, they'd go to hell. A horrible place forever. Could we be one, as God used in multiple times in this passage, different situations, and kept on drawing and kept on showing his love and mercy and grace, could we be one that he would use to change the course of an individual? You'll sit on your stool and do nothing, or you want to be used. You want to be one that God would use to stop the flow of sin and the denial of God. Oh, I'm just not a person that can speak to somebody else. If God puts a burden on your heart that they're going to hell, you'll be glad to speak to them. We need to ask for it. We need to be obedient to the command of God to preach the gospel to every creature. If Naaman had stopped at the king, he would have died a leper. Let's be one that God can use to get a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ. They can't take them to Elisha now, but we can take them to Jesus and tell them about him, how he saved us, and give them the gospel. And we can see the power of God draw them. And we might even see them see themselves a hell-bound sinner and say, can I ask him into my heart? Oh, yes. If you believe, willing to live for Jesus as he strengthens you, yes. Yes. Verse 15 is precious, and I'm going to close. And he returned, talking about Naaman, to the man of God, he and his company, and came and stood before him and said, behold, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Not only was he healed as a leper, he come to know God. Being lost is worse than having cancer. Being lost is worse than being a leper. Being lost is the worst thing on planet Earth for an individual. He came to know the God. You need to know God. He needs to be the Lord of your life. And he's wanting to use you. The Naamans are dying and going to hell in our word today. Many of them are caught up in false religions. And only in the power of God can we see them saved. Let me mention one other thing. He turned down the gifts that the king sent. Elisha turned them down. But his servant, lied twice, went to Naaman after he had left and told him, the master said that you need to give me some of those things. He went back to Elisha, and Elisha knew what he had done. Let me tell you something, God knows what we do. He looks on our heart. And here's the sad thing. Gehazi was judged for not obeying God. And the man of God, Elisha here is a type of God. And he did not obey God. And he lied about it. And Elisha cursed him with leprosy for the rest of his life. And the sad part is, it went to his family. It went to generations because he knew better and disobeyed God. It doesn't matter in our hearts sometimes, in our mindset, whether we're obedient to what we know from the Word of God and we're studying to show ourselves approved. It's not that big a deal, but it is. And it will affect you, and it will affect your family for generations. God would have me to ask you, if you're saved here today, are you doing all you know to do to know what he says and to do what he says in his power? Are you willing to be one that God would use to step into a person's life that's on a spiral to hell and be one that would change that course with the gospel? Are you one looking out for self? When God says you've got to deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow him. Christian, we need to be like this little maid. Take our place. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I beg you to repent of sin, admit it and repent it and turn from it into Him and ask Him with all your heart to save you. It's of utmost importance right here today. Don't let membership of Bethel Baptist Church take you to hell. Don't let some false religion take you to hell. Believe in Jesus. Believe in Him with all your heart. Come and get saved. Let's all stand. Let's bow our heads. I want to ask you to search your heart. I want to ask you to be truthful with God. I'm fixing to pray and ask God to touch your heart about where you're at in all this. And I just pray that He will and you'll listen. Let Him be a great blessing and use you if you're lost, save you. Father, please. Please, Lord. Oh, Lord, you've had me to say, Lord, what you wanted me to say, and I've said it humble. I just pray now that you'll touch our hearts. Lord, I pray for the complacency in the hearts and lives of Christians. I pray that you'll burden us about the state of a lost individual. I pray you'll burden us about those that are going into hell even while I've preached. I pray, dear God, that you'd use us. I pray that we'll be able to give the gospel with your power. I pray, dear God, you'd use us and we would deny ourselves. I pray, dear God, for that one that here today that's lost. Lord, they're putting on a show. They're religious. Help them, Lord, to be obedient to you, drawing Holy Spirit to them, to Jesus. It's in your wonderful and precious name we pray, Lord Jesus. Please bless. Amen. She's going to play, her head bowed. Now, altar's open. If we can be any help to you, we'd be glad to do that.